that we're here to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate the resurrection. We had some exciting things happening tonight. We can take communion at the end of the service. We have three young ladies that are going to give us a praise dance, a worship dance. That will be the children's stories. So children, that's for you, as well as the rest of us. I'm excited about that. Maybe we should just jump ahead to that first and go from there. And I have to wait. But no, we won't do that. We won't do that. So, all right, well, let's pray and let's celebrate Jesus then through our singing and our worship. Father, we're so grateful that we can be together tonight in your name and gather to worship you. We're here from different homes and different family groups, different individuals. We all come with our experiences of today and this week, and they're varied. We come from celebration. We come from uncertainty. We come maybe from some fear. We come maybe from some hurt, some disappointment. We have just a myriad of range of emotions as we gather tonight. And so, Father, I'm so thankful that you meet us where we are and that you minister to us your love, your hope, your joy, your peace. And I invite you tonight to be present among us and to minister to each of us at our point of need. May we find you in fresh ways by being together tonight. We love you, and we want you to know that we love you. And so as we sing, we do it from our hearts in appreciation and in honor of you. And we just invite you to, Holy Spirit, be present and show us, Father, in fresh ways. Thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Let's sing. Amen. I think we sang those like we meant. I hope you did. I wish we'd sing resurrection songs every Sunday. They're my favorite. And I remind you that the reason we meet on the first day of the week instead of the seventh day is because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. And so we celebrate the resurrection every time we get together on Sunday instead of Saturday. So we celebrate Jesus. Who has a testimony or a prayer concern you'd like to share with us this evening?
Just thankful, once again, for everybody being here and being able to come together.
Amen. Glad you can be with us. Did you bring a friend tonight? Did you? Welcome.
Oh, he's very brave.
I'm sorry.
This is my friend Pat. He's very brave. He came on his own.
Nice to meet you, Pat. Nice to meet you.
Welcome, Pat.
He was invited.
We appreciate your coming. We hope to see you at home and blessed in the Lord. I'm always ready to celebrate the resurrection, so I'm glad we can do it together. Let's pray our offertory prayer. I think that's what we do next, traditionally. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favorable settlements, estates and inheritances, interest and income, rebates and returns, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Lydia, will you pass the message?
Thank
The good ones. Get the Kleenex out.
A crown of thorns placed on his head. He knew that he was truly dead. He said, did you forget me, Father? Did you? They nailed him to a wooden cross. Now the world would feel the loss of Christ the King before his hallelujah. 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 He hung his head and prepared to die, then lift his face up to the sky, said, I am coming home now, Father, to you. A reed which held his final sip was gently lifted to his lips. He drank his last and gave Hallelujah.
quietly. And he showed me that last evening. It was powerful. So I asked Jeremy if he didn't have something else to maybe use that for the offertory. So glad he did. But we have a special treat in store today. We get to the three young ladies express their love for the Lord through dance. And so this is our children's story. So children, I hope you enjoy it too.
Where are we
going to
sit back in your seats?
Okay. Do you want the lights out? You want the front light? What? Yes.
Yes.
We're videoing it for grandparents.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Redemption's end, your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where you left for to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. If you become my sin, I belong to you. Thank you.
Wow, that was great. Well done. You expressed the words very well and your hearts very well. And I appreciate it. Who choreographed? I'm sorry. Have a prayer for the children, so let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. For children among us who love you. Mm-hmm. And who lead us to worship you. Thank you for the example that they are to us. You've done and continue to do a wonderful job in their lives, and we bless you. We thank you. Pray for each child here that they would love you with all their heart and express it to you for the every day of their lives. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I usually stand up here and preach behind the pulpit at this time. But tonight, I've invited a guest speaker, and I don't see him here yet, and so I'm going to go out in the foyer and look, see if I can find him. While I'm looking, Pansy is going to lead you in a couple of songs. Hopefully he'll show up in just a couple minutes.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is risen, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Because he lives, I'm faithful.
is tomorrow, because he lives. All we fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives.
Okay, Jeremy, do you have something a little bit more contemporary?
I know which one we have.
Though in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Vainly they still believe, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they still believe, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Hallelujah, Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave is vainly nigh. Jesus lives forever, he's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah, Jesus is alive.
He's alive! He's alive! I've seen him! I've seen Jesus! He's alive! Hallelujah! Praise God! I've seen him! Have you seen?
Yes.
Have you seen Jesus?
Yes.
He's alive! Oh, what glorious news! Oh, how fantastic! Oh, I'm sorry. You don't know who I am and you're not from around here. I'm Peter. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm Peter. I'm one who walked with Jesus. And we're here in Jerusalem. And you don't know what's going on this last week and weeks and years even. But 3 years ago, I was working with my brother Andrew in our fishing business. I'm a waterman. I fish. That's how I earned a living. And I was there mending my nets that day, and Jesus came along the shore, and he stopped. And he looked at me, and he looked at Andrew, and he said, come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And wow, his voice was so compelling. And I'd heard a bit about him, but I really didn't know him, didn't know what he was about, but I decided I'm going for it. This man has something. There's something special about him. And I followed him for 3 years. And it's been amazing. I watched and I listened. I heard him preach. I heard him give words to Pharisees that stopped them in their tracks. They had no answers. It was amazing. One day, he was on the side of a hill. And he preached for hours. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. He talked about a city on a hill that its light cannot be hidden. He talked about peace. He talked about obedience to God and holy living. And it was spellbinding. He taught as one who had authority, not the way the scribes and the Pharisees taught, the teachers of our law. And the miracles, that same time, he was preaching, there were more than 5,000 men there, plus women and children. And we told him, there were 12 of us that he gathered together to follow him closely, of which Andrew and I were two. And he told us, he said, you know, we went to him and said, Jesus, it's getting towards evening. These people have been here now for a long time listening to you. We need to send them away so they can get something to eat. And he looked at us and he said, you feed them. We laughed. We thought he was joking. I mean, what were we going to do? We told him, look, if there was a McDonald's nearby, it would take a year's wages and we still wouldn't have enough money to feed them all. He said, well, what do you have? And we checked through the crowd and one boy, his mother must have loved him a lot. She sent him a lunch. And he had small 5 dinner rolls and 2 little fish. And that's what we had. So we brought what we had to Jesus. Jesus said, okay. And he received it. He said, have the people sit down in groups of 50. 50. We're not going to get to one group, Jesus. But we did. And we watched. He blessed that bread and broke it and blessed the fish and broke it and handed it to us. And we took portions to the groups of 50 and to the groups of 50. And we kept taking portions and we kept taking portions until everybody had more than they could eat. And when it was done, Jesus said, go gather up the leftovers. And we had 12 baskets full of leftovers. Amazing. From there, he sent us across the Sea of Galilee to the other side to meet him. He stayed and prayed. And while we were going, it got windy and rough. Now, I'm a waterman, and I can handle some seas. But I'll tell you, this was a rough storm. I didn't think we were going to make it. And in the middle of the night, we're there, we're rowing as hard as we can to get to the other side, and we're not making any headway because the wind's blowing us back as hard as we can row. And we look, and there, off to the side, we see, it looks like a man, but it has to be a ghost walking on the water toward us. And we were petrified. Even more afraid of the ghost than the storm. And then the ghost spoke. Don't be afraid. It is I. I knew that voice. It was Jesus. I'd heard that voice so many times. I saw what he could do. And I said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. He said, come. And so I stepped out of the boat in these rough seas, 1 foot, and it seemed to hold, and the other foot. And I started walking to Jesus on the water. And then I looked around, and I saw the boat, and I saw the waves, and I started to sink. I said, Jesus, help me. And he reached out. He grabbed me and lifted me up, and we walked back to the boat together. He said, where was your faith? Whew. Following Jesus is an exciting life. Following Jesus is the only way to live life, because he pulled me back in the boat. And as soon as we got in the boat, the wind and the waves died down, and it was calm. We could get to the other side. I saw times when Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. I saw him heal the lame and the lepers. I even saw him bring people to life who had been dead. It was incredible to walk with Jesus. And being in his presence, being with him for this last period of time, for these years, it changed my life. You have to understand, I was a waterman. I wasn't a religious saint. We don't have a reputation of being religious saints as watermen. Anything but. And I was pretty impetuous, reactionary. I was known to react to whatever was happening. And yet, Jesus saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. One day he asked, who do people say that I am? And we told him. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Jeremiah. He said, what about you? Who do you say that I am? Oh, that's the question we each have to answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? And I told him. It just came to me. You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he looked at me and he said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven revealed that to you. And Peter, I'm telling you this, upon this rock, and that's my name, Peter. It means rock in your language. Upon this rock, I will build my church. He saw me as a building block for his church. He sees you as a building block for his church too. And how will we respond? Oh, I lived and I hung on every word that Jesus taught. I knew that he was the Christ. I knew that he was the Messiah. I knew he was the Son of the living God, that he was going to be here, and he was going to live forever, and he was going to reign and rule on the throne of David, and he was going to restore Israel to the glory that it once had when David and Solomon were our kings. And then, this last week, actually it started before that, Jesus started talking. I thought it was nonsense. I didn't think it made sense. He was talking about that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to die. And I said, Lord, you can't. You can't. And so, you know, this went on for a little while. And so it was time for Passover, which was just this week. And we were going to Jerusalem, and we got to just outside of Jerusalem, to Bethphage, and we were getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and Jesus said, a couple of you go ahead into town, and you're going to find a donkey, and it's colt tied next to the building. When you get there, just untie it and bring it to me, and if anybody stops you and asks you what you're doing, just tell them the Lord needs it. I'll return it. And so we went, just like he told us, and sure enough, there it was. And so we went up to it, we untied it, and we're starting to lead it away, and some people say, hey, what are you doing? He said, oh, the Lord needs it, and he'll return. Okay. So we took it back to Jesus. Jesus got on that colt that was never ridden before. And when we saw what he was doing, we took some of our coats and put it on the colt's back so that he'd have a little softer seat. And he rode that colt into Jerusalem. And there was a large crowd with us. And the crowd saw what we did, and they began to take their cloaks off. And they laid them on the road ahead of the donkey for it to walk on. And some cut down palm branches, laid them on the ground, or waved them in the air. And we shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, glory to God in the highest. And we welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem, expecting him to be the king, expecting him to overthrow Rome and to set us free. Instead, he went to the temple and upset the money changers' tables and drove out the animals that they were selling for the people to have for sacrifice, but charging outrageous sums. He said, my father's house is called a house of prayer. It's to be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And then lame and blind people came to him. Sick people came to him there in the temple, and he healed them. It was incredible. We went then. We had the Passover meal together. I'll never forget that time. There were 13 of us there together, Jesus and the 12 who he had chosen to be close to him. And we were there at supper, and before supper started, Jesus, our Lord and our Master, our leader, our teacher, our rabbi, if you will, took off his outer garment. He got a basin and a towel, and he knelt down in front of each one of us and began to wash our feet. And when he got to me, I said, oh, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. You're the Lord. You're the Master. He looked at me and said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you're not part of me. I said, Lord, not just my feet, but my head and my hands also. He told me, if your feet are clean, you're already clean. And he washed my feet. It was an act of love and compassion like I had never seen before. And I felt such love flowing from him to me as he washed my feet. Then we proceeded with the supper. And at the end of the supper, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. It's given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me. And he ate it. Then he took the cup. He said, this is the new covenant of my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. And we drink it. And then he said, one of you is going to betray me. No. No, it can't be, Lord. None of us. Who among us would do that? But it's the one that I give the sop to. The special piece of bread. He reached out and he handed it to Judas. Judas, he couldn't believe it. And then Jesus told Judas, go, do what you're about to do. And he left. We didn't know what he was doing. We thought maybe he was going to prepare something for Jesus, but he left. Then Jesus took us out to the Garden of Gethsemane. We often went there. Jesus loved to pray there. So we were there, and we had a campfire. It was night, and we were sitting around the fire, and Jesus called James and John and myself to come with him a little ways. And he said, okay, stop here. I want you to watch and pray. I'm going on ahead a little ways, and I'm going to pray. And Jesus went off, and he prayed. We tried to pray. It had been a long day. It had been a heavy week. We were tired. And I have to admit, I fell asleep. Jesus came back. Couldn't you watch with me just 1 hour? It's okay. They're here. And we looked up, and there was a force from the scribes and the Sanhedrin and they have soldiers with them and their guard and weapons and torches and they were coming through the garden toward us. And Judas was with them. And as they approached, Judas walked up to Jesus, reached out to grab his hand and to give him a kiss. And he did. And as he did that, Jesus said, "Who are you here for?" "We're here for Jesus." "Well, that's me." And they fell back. They couldn't believe it. He said, "Yeah, that's me. Let these others go. All you want is me." Well, I couldn't believe that they were there to capture Jesus, to arrest Jesus for what? For doing good? So I had a sword, so I grabbed it, and I reached out, I cut off the high priest's servants right here. And I was really disappointed. I was a bad aim and missed the center of his head. I wanted to get a war started and get Jesus set free. We were here to conquer Rome. We were not here to have Jesus arrested. And Jesus told me, he says, "Peter, put your sword away. If my kingdom were of this world, then my people would fight. And don't you know that I could call more than, tell my father, and he'd send more than 12 legions of angels to destroy the world and set me free? But no, this is why I came." And so they arrested Jesus. Oh, yeah. Jesus reached down, picked up the ear, put it back in place, and healed the high priest's servant's ear. What compassion. What love, even for enemies. And I watched as they bound Jesus and they took him away to the Sanhedrin. Actually, that night it was to the chief priest's house. Sanhedrin was in the morning. And I followed at a distance. I had forgotten at that time what Jesus had told me earlier, how that Satan desired to sift me, but Jesus had prayed for me. And I said, "Lord, I wouldn't leave you. I would go to prison for you. I would die for you." He said, "Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me 3 times. "No, Lord, no." "Peter, when you return, be an encouragement to your brothers." I couldn't believe it. I followed Jesus at a distance. They took him in. I don't know what all went in inside that house, the high priest, because I was outside. Some people there had built a fire, and so I went toward the fire to warm up. It was chilly that night. And as I was warming myself by the fire, a young lady looked at me and said, "You're one of his disciples." "Oh, no, no, I don't know the man." After a bit, another man said to me, "Yeah, you're one of them." "No, I'm not. I don't know the man." A bit later, another man said, "Yeah, you're a Galilean. You're with him. You're with Jesus." "I don't know the man, I tell you." And at that moment, the rooster crowed. And I remembered. I had just denied Jesus. Not once. Not twice. 3 times. Just like he had told me I would. Oh. I went outside and I wept bitterly. I just couldn't believe that I'd done that. Betrayed my Lord. Morning came. The Sanhedrin, that's the ruling body of the temple, took Jesus to Pilate. That's the governor, the Roman governor in charge of Jerusalem. They said, "This man has caused insurrection among the people. He's incited riots, and he's broken important laws of our faith. He's blasphemed. He claims to be the Son of God. As such, he claims to be a king of the Jews. And he's a threat to Rome. Pilate took Jesus and interviewed him. And after a bit, he came out. And I was there. I heard what was going on. And he said, you know, I don't find any guilt in this man. He's innocent. He said, he is no friend of Caesar's. He's no friend of ours. We want you to do away with him. And Pilate said, okay, look, I have a tradition that at Passover, I release one prisoner to you that I have in my custody. How about if I release Jesus, this king of the Jews, as you call him, at Passover now? No. Then who do you want? Give us Barabbas. Barabbas was an insurrectionist, and he was a murderer. But the chief priests would rather have him free and among them than Jesus. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't understand it. And Pilate said, but I find no fault with this man. He's an innocent man. Give us Barabbas. Okay. I'll give you Barabbas. But this Jesus, I'll just punish him and send him on his way. No. What do you want me to do with this Jesus? Crucify him. What? Crucify him. Why? He claims to be the king of the Jews. He blasphemed. He calls himself the Son of God. That means he calls himself God. He must die according to our religion and our law. And Pilate again tried to have Jesus released, but all the louder. The Sanhedrin and now the crowd that had gathered were shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify him. Finally, Pilate gave in and said, we'll do as you wish. And so they took Jesus to crucify him. I'm sorry. My apologies. But before they did, they took him back into the praetorium, which is the interrogation chamber. And they beat him 40 stripes, put a crown of thorns on his head, and beat it in with a reed. Put a purple robe on him and mocked him. Hail the King of the Jews. Then they led him out to be crucified. I watched and I followed along from a distance, along with a number of the other disciples and a group of women who had followed him, including his mother, Mary. And we walked out to Golgotha, a place where people are crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. And we watched as they took Jesus and laid him down on the ground on that cross, stretched out his arm and began to drive a spike into first one hand and then the other, and a spike through his feet. And then they lifted him up. And they dropped that cross down into the hole that they had dug for it. And there he hung. And when they crucified Jesus, they crucified a thief on his right and another on his left. There were three crosses on that hill that day. And I was at a distance, but I was close enough to hear what was going on. And I heard them begin to mock Jesus. If you're the Son of God, save yourself, come down from there. That was the gathered Jews and religious leaders. And even one of the criminals said, yeah, if you're the Son of God, save yourself and us. But the other criminal said, have you no fear? You and I are here because we deserve this. But this man has done nothing wrong. He does not deserve to be crucified. And then he said something that was life-changing, even in his death. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said something I will never forget. He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. Wow. There on the cross while he was dying, he was thinking of others. In fact, as the soldiers lifted him up and dropped his cross into the ground, he cried out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How can a man have such love and compassion at such a time? But Jesus did. And I watched, not knowing what was going on. This was 9 o'clock in the morning when Jesus was crucified. By 12 o'clock, it got dark at noon until about 3 o'clock. I heard Jesus say that he thirsted as he was there on the cross. And then I heard words that, again, I'll never forget. He said, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he dropped his head and breathed his last. And my heart broke. My heart broke as I saw Jesus give his life there on the cross. As he died, for no reason, at least none that I could see, before the day was over. A soldier had come. They broke the legs of the two thieves on either side of Jesus to hasten their death because they wanted to get these guys down and off the cross for the Sabbath, for the holy day. They saw Jesus was already dead, so there was no reason to break his legs. And so the soldier took his spear and thrust it into Jesus' side. Blood and water gushed out from his broken heart. Then they took the bodies down. Joseph of Arimathea, he was one of the Jewish leaders, but he believed, although quietly he didn't let everybody know that. He went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body to bury. And he was given the body of Jesus. And so he took the body of Jesus and he wrapped it in linen cloths. And he put it in a new grave that he had dug for himself out of the side of a rock, a cave in a rock. And there they laid the body of Jesus. And they took a large stone, put it in front of the grave, and sealed it. And it was final. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, was dead in the grave.
life is so empty without Jesus. My heart was broken. The 11 of us, now Judas no longer part of us, along with some other followers of Jesus, gathered in a room in a house hiding from the Jews because we were afraid we were next. We saw what they did to Jesus. So we were there. Some women had followed Joseph to know where they had laid Jesus' body, because when the Sabbath was over, they had planned to go and properly anoint the body with spices and herbs and prepare it for burial properly. But the Sabbath day was a Sabbath. We couldn't do it on the Sabbath. So the whole Sabbath, we were together, petrified, confused, disheartened, dejected. We'd followed this man. We'd put our hope in this man. Now he was dead. So were our hopes and our dreams. There's no future without Jesus. So early on the morning of the first day of the week, that was this morning, early this morning, the strangest thing happened. The women who had gone to see where they laid Jesus went back to the tomb with the spices and everything that they had to properly prepare the body of Jesus for burial. And as they were going, they were talking, you know, we've got an obstacle here. How are we going to move that stone that's in front of the grave? It's bigger than us. How are we going to move it? They went anyway. And when they got to the grave, they were dumbstruck. They couldn't believe it. The grave was open. The stone was rolled away. And they said, oh no, they've stolen the body of Jesus. And they went in and they slipped in the tomb and it was empty. But there lay the linen cloths that he had been wrapped in and the bandana around his head. They were folded up on the place where they had laid him. But Jesus was gone. And what did they do with the body of Jesus? Who did this? The Jews, the Romans, who did this? And as they turned to walk out, there were two men in bright linen clothes. And they called, looked at him, and they said, what are you doing? We're here looking for Jesus. Where have you taken him? And they said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? What? They said, Jesus isn't dead. He's risen. And he's going ahead to meet his brethren where he told them he would. As he told them he would before he died. And they are to be there to meet him and to greet him. And they were amazed. And they couldn't believe it. It was too good to be true. So they came running back to us. And they told us what they had seen and what they'd heard. And we couldn't believe it either. So John and I, we just left. We ran to the tomb. John got there before me, and he got in first. And it was just like the woman had said. Jesus wasn't there. And we left that tomb confused. I had no idea. No idea what had happened. Oh, what is there now? What's to live for? We spent this whole day in that room together. Wondering, discussing, contemplating, trying to figure out, coming up with nothing. This couldn't be true. It couldn't be that Jesus was alive. No man has come back from the grave. We all know that. And then, in the evening, getting toward dark, two of our number had left earlier to go to Emmaus. And just about dark, they come huffing and puffing, running up to the house and pounding on the door, coming in. What's going on? We figured they were running from the Jews or the Romans. Somebody was after them. We've seen him. We've seen Jesus as we were walking along the road. He came and walked with us. And they told us of the conversation they had and how they didn't recognize him. And then they invited him in for a meal and to spend the night. And he finally agreed to come. And as they were at the table, sitting there, he took bread and he broke it and he blessed it. And when he did, they recognized him. It was Jesus. They'd spent the day with Jesus. He was alive. And they came to tell us that. And again, they got to be nuts. Nobody comes back from the dead. We know the grave is final. It has the last word. And then, just about that instant, we were in the room. The windows were closed. The doors were locked because we were afraid of the Jews. There, Jesus appeared in front of us. And we saw him, and he spoke to us, and he invited us to touch him, and he ate a piece of fish in front of us. He's alive. He's alive. I've seen him. I've touched him. I've talked to him. He's alive. Have you met him? Have you seen him? Have you talked to him? Do you know that he's alive? Oh, you're missing out if you have. And he told us that we were to go and share the news. Share the good news and invite others to come and follow him, just as we came and followed him. Oh, the joy, the peace, the enthusiasm, the emotion that just is indescribable. Just floods through my soul as I reflect back and I see his face. I see the prints, his palms, and his feet, and his side. And I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand again on this earth. And it's for me to follow him, to live for him, and to invite others to join me on the path of following Jesus. Will you be one that follows with me, following Jesus, living for him? I hope so. Oh, I hope so. And I know it'll make him so happy. I'd like to pray with you. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for sending Jesus to conquer sin and death and the grave, and to rise victoriously as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and for giving him a name that is above every name, but at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord, to your glory, Almighty God and Father. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for calling me. Thank you for having faith in me. for calling each of us, for having faith in each of us, because I know you do. If you did in me, surely you do in these. Father, I know. Lord Jesus, I know that you are the faithful and true one, and that as anyone comes to you, you welcome them with open arms. You embrace that person. And you build in them a life and a future that they could never imagine without you. Come, Holy Spirit. Move in our hearts, I pray. Call us to that yes to Jesus tonight. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Amen. Let's celebrate with communion. Anybody want to join me? If you follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, baptism, come on up and let's gather around and have that broken bread and cup. It represents the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. I spoke to Earl, and it's okay if Peter takes his place here tonight with him. He's okay with that. Right. We have here bread that represents the body of Christ. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. As often as you can, do it in remembrance of me." I'm going to pass the plate. I invite you to take a piece of bread, and if you hold it until you all receive it, and then we partake. This body is a symbol of the body of Christ. This bread is a symbol of the body of Christ. And as we eat it, we again symbolically welcome Jesus into our being. Let's eat together. Thank you, Jesus, for your body. It was given for me, for us, for each of us. You took on a debt that we couldn't pay. And you bore it on your body, on the cross. Bless this bread, bless us as we partake of it. So in your holy name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is my blood new covenant. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Again, I invite you to take a cup, hold it until you all receive. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood that washes and cleanses us and starts with a fresh new covenant, a new agreement between God and mankind. We thank you for what you accomplished. We thank you that it's your blood that washes away the sin of the world, that washes away my sin, each of our sin, in entirety. Thank you for paying the price we couldn't possibly pay. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other name I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He's alive.
Amen.
Go in the joy of the Spirit. Amen. God bless you with a blessing.